The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
I'm joined now by Michael Sheridan, the motoring journalist, and we are talking electric vehicles today. Just before we get started, Michael, I was talking during the break about grants for electric vehicles, and on electric motorcycles, there's none. Why is that?
Well, because basically, as far as the government is concerned, and most people riding two wheels, there aren't really any electric motorcycles you can buy. There was electric mopeds, we know electric scooters. I even have one outside that I've got on test from SAID in the boot of my car that can do 25 kilometres on one full charge, but they don't really know they exist. So while an electric vehicle, a car, gets 10 grand in total, it gets a 5,000 grand from the SEAI and it gets a 5 grand rebate on VRT, which is a good discount for the car. Motorcycles really don't exist. And to be honest, if the government had its way, I think they would try and ban motorcycles altogether, and that would be a great way of, in their eyes, of reducing fatalities and injuries and statistics. But as you and I know, as motorcyclists, motorcycling can be a very efficient way of getting about the place. And certainly if you're commuting or working through a city, motorcycles make a lot of sense. The only trouble then again is your bike, I know, makes a reasonable amount of noise, nice noise.
Nice to me anyway.
Exactly. And also it alerts pedestrians and other road users that you are coming. An electric motorcycle, can you imagine what would happen if they didn't insist on a minimum engine noise coming from that electric motor?
And it'd just be like a ninja showing up in someone's rearview mirror.
Actually, there's the new Garda motorcycles. Give them electric motorcycles and they will sneak up at the crims, and we'll have the prisons overflowing in no time with ne'er-do-wells.
Okay. And tell me, petrol and diesel cars due to be banned by 2030. I was hoping to save up and get a Dodge Challenger Demon by that
stage.
And
you know what? You'll still be able to buy your Dodge Challenger Demon. It'll just be secondhand. So what they're saying is the government has really done a very good job of scaring the absolute daylights out of people and saying your car, you are killing the planet. Your car is going to be destroyed by 2030. What they're doing is they're saying they're banning all internal combustion engines will not be able to be sold or sold as new from that point. But we have a huge amount. We've over 2 million cars in the country. They'll all have to be serviced, maintained. The second-hand market is massive. There's so many people who don't and can't find themselves in a position to buy a new car, and literally their commute and their lives exist using second-hand vehicles. So diesel engine, petrol engines, they're still going to continue. Hybrids are still going to continue. There was a mad miscalculation and misuse of language, I think, in there early on. They should have said all cars should be electrified by 2030, which would mean they'd be hybrids or various forms of that. Europe is already legislating to make manufacturers make all cars lower emitting in emissions by 2020. They'll all have to be 95 grams on average per kilometre. So they're forcing, Europe is being forced to make greener, cleaner cars. And they're the cars that we have to buy. They're put in front of us to buy. So little old Ireland saying we're going to change the world of motoring. The manufacturers will decide what they can give us, and what they put in front of us is what we can buy. At the moment, EVs are very, very expensive, and they're there for the few, and those few really enjoy their EVs. But at the moment, it's not for everybody.
I just got a text in. Someone said, look up Zero Motorcycles. And I actually have. And I can tell you that Franklin Motorcycles in Kinsealy in North Dublin have just started to sell them.
Turn of phrase. I mean, Harley had a fantastic one that they showcased about 3 years ago. There's a whole section in the Isle of Man TT with electric motorcycles and so on. But again, a tiny component. And actually, motorcycle sales in Ireland are really small as well.
Can we actually hit our target, though? Can they make the electric vehicles quick enough? Because
not
you mentioned 2 million vehicles.
Not a chance. They're looking at 950,000 EVs on the road, I think, by 2030, whatever the plan is. Uh-huh. It's pie in the sky. It takes at least 3 years from the notion of building a car to actually building a car at present with any of the manufacturers. So to get them to suddenly shift their model to making battery electric vehicles only that are affordable for everybody, it will happen, but it's going to be a gradual process, and we would have to be buying them absolutely as the second they landed on the docks. Also, we've got cases like the Kia, who are part of Hyundai Kia Group. They launched two really interesting EVs just this week, the e-Niro and the e-Soul. They're fantastic. Prices start in the mid-30s and rise up from there. And they're excellent. Great range, over 450 kilometres of range on the long-range versions. They've sold out for this year. They can't get enough of them. The manufacturers aren't making enough. Even if we said, look, we'll take everything, we'll switch all of our car purchasing over to buying EVs today, we couldn't get the cars. The car makers do not build them. Even trying to find top ten for today, even with grants,
we're not going to do it. There's a range, obviously, on the prices.
I mean, it's a tipping point. And again, as somebody, some wise person, wiser than me, said, a target is no good unless it seems something you can't attain. So, you know, the target is set high. This target is ridiculous. I mean, it really is just not going to be attainable, because we have to wait and see what the manufacturers can give us and put in front of us. At the moment, you know, the most sort of accessible price point for electric car, the Renault Zoe, for example,
how much
25
is that?
Grand. Okay.
And that's with all the grants and everything thrown in?
That's with the grants thrown in. Now, you can get an equivalent car with the same sort of thing, same size, similar size and so on, for about 17 or 18,000 and, you know, run it on your petrol and diesel and still be ahead of yourself. Of course, running an EV is fantastic, and the Nissan Leaf is a runaway success in terms of sales here, but it's number 40 of all the cars currently in the sales charts. Mm-hmm. And there's over 120 different car models on sale in the state at the moment. But even finding 10 to run down through today was very hard to do, because the manufacturers literally, they know that with the stroke of a pen, a government can make their business model obsolete. And I've talked to members of board of directors of the big German firms, and they've said, yes, we have to make sure that all the pricing and all the profit margin is within their control. At the moment, they make a lot of money off petrol and diesel cars because they've got that down pat. They've been doing it for years. Mm-hmm. But making an electric car, you've got to source batteries, you've got to source electric motors. There's less maintenance, the model shifts, the cost and the finding of those resources is a huge issue as well. Uh-huh. And while batteries are getting cheaper and will get cheaper, they're still really expensive in the first place.
Yeah, okay? But batteries are also changed. I mean, I remember just batteries for me is synonymous with power tools. You used to have nickel cadmium, then there's lithium ion, and now you've got lithium poly.
I remember carrying around, having to carry around and walking with a limp because my mobile phone had a battery that was so huge on it, back in the day. But yeah, the batteries tech is improving, the motor tech is improving all the time.
So, do you think people are worried that if you buy one today, you'll be kind of out-teched in 4 or 5 years' time?
You know what? There is a very interesting time happening just now, because Leaf started the way last year when they gave us the 40-kilowatt Leaf. Now, 40-kilowatt, you know, people can be bombarded with numbers. That's basically the capacity of the battery, okay? So the bigger the number, that means you can go further, okay? So they brought out a 40-kilowatt battery with the Leaf, and it meant you could do your commute. You could easily do over 300 kilometres easily on a full charge of electricity, which meant that you could survive with a home charger, not worry about the public infrastructure, which can be dodgy at times and should really only be there as a backup. But there's a whole load of 40 kilowatt, 50 kilowatt, 60 kilowatt, 64 kilowatt and bigger batteried versions of models coming our way, and including a whole raft of new small cars as well. And they will be launched in the next year or two, and they will be a lot more interesting, but they're still going to be pricey, and getting people onto them and then getting enough supply in the first place is going to be an issue for the Irish distributors, who will have something which everybody's talking about, but they can't sell it. And the dealerships won't want to sell it because mm-hmm. they'll have metal that they can shift there and then, which is petrol or diesel or hybrid.
So we've got the 25k Renault Zoe. That's at the lowest end. Let's go to the other end. I'm a sucker for
you know. Let me ask you. What's the fanciest EV you can think of?
Oh,
it begins with T.
I'm guessing one of the Tesla. Yeah, Tesla. Is it the Spider, the X, or something like that?
The X, which has the Falcon doors, which is a massive, huge SUV. Well, it's particularly massive here. In the States, it's like a size of a pickup truck.
That's not the fastest Tesla, though, is
it? Well, they're all pretty fast because it depends then on the motor they put into them. And the reason Teslas are so popular is because they're very quick and they can go quite far. And the reason is they have all the batteries in the world in them. They weigh a lot of, they're very heavy, but they have a huge amount of natural resources in them. When they are fully charged, they can go faster than supercars, and they can go a very, very long way. Now, when you charge them up, you need a lot of electricity. That's why Tesla have their Tesla superchargers around the place. Mm-hmm. And they basically are capable of lashing tons of electricity in reasonably quickly into a Tesla. But it's still nowhere near fueling a diesel or a petrol car or a hybrid car. So in the real world, you want to look, you know, you're looking at Nissan Leaf. You've got your Renault Zoe. Hyundai Kia, again, the Kona and the Ioniq from Hyundai are fantastic machines. Ioniq is probably the most democratic machine that they sell. It starts in the low 30s and it is perfect for any short haul, short hops. It is a brilliant little machine. Volkswagen make the most ordinary one of all, the e-Golf, but next year they've got the ID3 coming, and Volkswagen is so hyped up about this, they're saying it's the next Beetle, as in it's the next most significant vehicle that that brand is going to bring out. And we know how huge Volkswagen are. They're number one in Ireland. They're the biggest company, biggest motoring company in the world, and in many ways responsible for the mess and everybody's accelerated interest in reducing emissions. But they'll have the ID3, which is coming. But at the moment, you've got the e-Golf. So some are very good for short journeys. And what you need to look for if you're buying one is that battery capacity. So big numbers. If you have a 40 kilowatt battery in something which is family sized of a car, you're going to do well. Any higher number is indulgent and is brilliant and great to have. Anything smaller than that, you need then to start seriously thinking about your range and what you're doing with your car. And one of the experts in Renault, I was over at a reveal of the new Zoe in Paris there last week, and he was saying that EV drivers, they do the same sort of journeys that people do in small petrol cars, mm-hmm. but they do them much more frequently. So they're actually only short of diesel users' mileage, but they're doing short journeys, but they are committed journeyists, if there is such a word. They're committed travellers who use their EVs frequently.
Are they proven to be good for the environment? It's something that I've often wondered, because I heard someone talking during the week say that for a petrol or diesel machine to kind of hit its break-even point in terms of how much carbon goes into the air to make it and to run it, that happens at something like 120,000 kilometres. But for an electric vehicle to actually break even, that it was something like 150,000 kilometres, was a higher number.
Numbers up to 200,000 as well, that when you reach that point, you really are just so ahead of the game. At point of use, EVs are fantastic, and you can be in denial about every way that the cobalt and the lithium is mined and where it's sourced from, and the fact that your car and all its component parts has travelled around the world maybe twice before it was delivered to your showroom. But when you're using it, electric motors have very few moving parts, so your maintenance costs are way low. You'll need more tyres, because electric vehicles tend to be heavier and they'll go through tyres more quickly. Yeah. But in terms of servicing and running it, fueling it with electricity is a tiny fraction of what it is to fuel with a fossil fuel.
Can I hit you with a quick question from the texters? One of them has said, I drive a 3-litre diesel Jeep in order to tow a trailer that is 2,500 kilos.
I know. Can I finish that question before it even goes? There's none of them are certified to tow except for the Tesla X, because of the positioning of their batteries and so on. You can't actually, none of them have approved tow bar or tow hitchings. So you really won't be able to get a electric vehicle that tows. It can be similar with a lot of the hybrids as well. Hybrids might be able to tow, but they won't have the same capacity, because they generally are heavier again. So the gross weight that they can tow is affected. And if you've got a 3-litre diesel Jeep and you tow a trailer, you know all about towing and you know about your weights. So that's something which has yet to be addressed. The Tesla Model S.
What are people in trades going to drive in 2030? Are companies making electric vans?
No, there are. There's brilliant vans. And actually, back to Nissan, the Leaf, its underbits and so on are shared with the ENV200, which is, there's a passenger version of that as well. So there are commercial electric vehicles, and they're brilliant, because for city use they're fantastic, because nobody
LDV
gets any,
or something like that, are they an electric?
Yeah, they make one as well, and a lot of commercial vehicle firms make them, because in city use they are absolutely perfect, because they never reach the mileage. The electric motor gives them tons of torque, so they're very good at pulling and towing stuff. They're quiet, they're kind to the environment. Oh sure, look, it's like petting puppies. You know what I mean?
You make it sound so lovely.
You know, but it is.
Someone else is saying, this is all about Dublin. What about rural Ireland going long distances?
Rural Ireland, that's where the range thing comes in. And that's where your kilowatt range on your battery is really important. So again, back to our old friend Leaf, there's a higher output. I think it's 64 kilowatt battery coming in that. There's the 64 kilowatt battery in the Kona Electric. And there's also long range batteries in the e-Niro and the e-Soul. And they can go really far distances. Even a BMW i3 can do over 300 kilometres. So sometimes it takes a bit of planning. You need to know where your fast chargers are so you can top up and get your juice back into your vehicle. And then the trick is, you really have to have your home charger so that you leave every day with the option of you using your maximum amount of range. And that has always been the issue. But it is exciting for them. The trouble is, we won't have anywhere near the numbers that are required, and people will just simply not go there. If you had to leave Dublin and go straight up to the back of beautiful Donegal, you'd really be suffering from range anxiety and saying, well, where am I going to charge? Because once I go beyond Cavan, I'm going to be stuck trying to find a charging place. And then it takes over your life. Then you've no life, and then you become a complete EV nerd and nobody talks to you anymore. And you may as well live in an island and be an EV hermit.
And you become just like I am in normal life. If you think your anxiety is bad, someone has said, I'm a mechanic, what's going to happen to me? Well, I can't say that we know.
You know, that is the thing. The good thing is there's going to be all of these used vehicles that will have to be serviced. The government cannot kick people out of their diesel and petrol cars because they won't get elected again. They know that. When they knock on your doorstep, and if you're a mechanic or if you have a diesel or petrol car, bring that point up to them. The internal combustion engine is going to need mechanics for many years to come. But down the line, I would say get your kids into battery technology or storing electricity, something like that. That's where it's at.
You heard it from Michael Sheridan, our motoring journalist, talking about all things electric vehicle.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.